infused with skepticism these days, don't we? What do you hear all over the place? Fake news, right? Yes, fake news. So this is kind of one of those topics that in a modern setting, a modern culture, we already approach this probably with a bit more skepticism than someone even from 10 or 15, 20 years ago would have. And the only way to know if news is fake or not is to go to the source and hear it from the source, right? I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. I don't want to hear somebody tell me about it. I want to hear the actual person that this news is about come from them. I want to go to the source. And I want to give you a truth just to sort of set us off, and then I'm going to show you from the text why this is the way it is. Here's the truth. Very simple. God is the source of the gospel. God is the source of the gospel. In Romans 1:1, the very first verse of this chapter and book, Paul says that he is called as an apostle and set apart for the gospel, but not just the gospel. He says set apart for the gospel of God. In other words, the gospel that comes from God. God is the source of the gospel. The gospel is God's answer to man's problem, in other words. Now, how do we know that for sure? Well, obviously, a little bit of faith is required. I mean, that's a part of this whole thing, right? It's to walk by faith, believe by faith, something James is going to deal with at the end as well. But there are two things, I think, that really firmly point to God as the source of the gospel. The first is in how it is revealed, in how the gospel is revealed. Look again at verse 1 and continue reading into verse 2. He says he's called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Right? So the gospel is revealed to us. In other words, we know about the gospel through the prophets in the Scriptures. The Bible, in other words, is the way that we come to hear and understand the gospel. Now, in this particular passage, Paul, when he says Scriptures, he's referring to the Old Testament. Anytime you see the New Testament refer to Scripture, they're referring back to the Old Testament. But even by the time Peter wrote 2 Peter, New Testament writings were already being received as Scripture as well. Peter says, in regard to Paul's writings, he says that there are those who have twisted Paul's words as they do the other Scriptures. So even by that point, Peter is recognizing that, look, Paul's writings are on the same level as the Old Testament. This is the inspired words of God that Paul couldn't do it if it were up to you. That's the great news of the gospel. We talked last week about the freedom that we have in Christ, the freedom that we walk in as believers in Christ. And we have that freedom because of grace, right? The undeserved favor of God, the undeserved merit of God, the unmerited gift that we are given by God the Father. One way we know that God is the source of the gospel is that if it were up to man, it would require so much more out of us. I mean, look at all the different world religions, for example. All of them create a works-based righteousness, a system of works that earn your way into heaven. None of them have grace as its central message. Islam, for example, I remember speaking to a guy that I went to school with who was the teacher of Islam, and he said, we were talking about salvation time, and he said, you know, when we die, we hope that we've done enough good in our lives to tip the scales in our favor that Allah will grant us paradise. I mean, man, that's a lot to hope for. I mean, I have no hope if that's the case. I'm out. Hinduism, if you live a fairly challenging life full of tough circumstances, it's because the life that you lived prior to this, you were way worse than this one. And you now can live. There's this sort of life cycle that happens in that. And so it's all up to you to make the right choices so that in the next life you have even better circumstances. Buddhism, it's all about discipline, self-discipline. Do more, do more, do more, do more. Work, work, work. Even in the so-called Christian cults, the non-Orthodox Christian cult, like Mormonism, for example, it's all about works. It's just very works-centered. You have to do all these things in order to earn your way into heaven. When we think about the Christian faith, one of the ways that makes it so unique, one of the ways that we know that the gospel is not man-made, but it is from the heart of God, is that it requires nothing of us. I remember hearing about a British conference at one point of all the leading scholars of the time talking about world religions. And someone asked the question, someone posed the question, what is the unique feature that sets Christianity apart from all the others? And someone threw out the incarnation, right? Jesus becoming flesh. And they talked about it for a moment. They debated back and forth. And someone said, well, no, but I mean, there are other religions where, like, you know, gods become like men. And so it's different, but I mean, it doesn't make it superhuman. And then someone said, well, what about resurrection? He said, yeah, I mean, once again, the Christian resurrection is different, but I mean, there are other religions that have people come back from the dead. That's not something that's completely unique to Christianity. And as they were all kind of arguing, debating back and forth about this, a man walked into the room by the name of C.S. Lewis, and he said, what's all this shouting about? And they said, well, we're discussing what makes Christianity unique apart from all the other religions. And the story says, word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, here it is again, it is the power of God. For Paul, the gospel is the power of God himself. Now, why? Why is it so powerful? What gives it its strength? Well, the gospel is powerful, first of all, because of who it proclaims. Right? It proclaims Jesus. As James just said, the gospel is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus' work, the finishing work of Jesus on the cross. And that is a powerful thing. Jesus is powerful. In fact, Paul calls him that. He calls him the same thing he calls the gospel. He says in 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. You see, the gospel is the power of God because it's all about Jesus. And Jesus is the power of God. Not only that, Jesus is God himself. In Colossians 1:15 and 16, it says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Check this out. For by him all things were created. That means Genesis 1, in the beginning, all things were created by who? According to Paul in Colossians, it was Jesus. Both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Colossians 2:9, it says that for in him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. You see, the gospel is powerful because it's all about Jesus. And Jesus is power. His name is power. By the way, you know what that means, right? That any gospel apart from Jesus is meaningless. It's no gospel. There is no gospel apart from Jesus. He's the game changer. He's the secret ingredient. This is why when the actors win an award and they're like, oh, thank God for making me awesome, right? No one bats an eye. But they're like, you know, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah! It's just like saying his name is enough to get people's feathers wild, right? Just try it. As a social experiment, try it. Next time you're out in public having a conversation with people at work, just drop the JC in a conversation. Casually, and see what happens. See what happens. And not in a, like, I stump my toe kind of way, right? See what happens. People take note whenever you talk about Jesus. There's power in him. He is power. Secondly, it's powerful because of what it produces. Notice what Paul says in verse 16. He says, the power of God for what? For salvation. In other words, it's not just regular news. It's not something that you hear and kind of go on about your day as if nothing is different. This is news that affects people in a very supernatural way when they hear and believe it. It's the power to save from God's wrath. It removes condemnation. It's interesting, the word power here in the Greek, it's the word dunamis. It's the word from which we get our word dynamite. Dynamite. You can think about this as God's dynamite. You know the thing about dynamite, right? It's powerful, and it has changing power. Like, if you can take a stick of dynamite and light it and throw it in the middle of a room, and it will change its surroundings. You know what I mean? Now, it's interesting. The gospel is the very same way. The gospel, when you put it out there, it has the tendency to change its surroundings.